Hi, Judy. Hey, Judy.
Okay, let me turn your sound up. Can
Can you
you
hear
hear
me?
me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Better than before?
And look at that wonderful spread behind you.
I
Gee.
know. Just like yours.
I'm just in Brenda Gatlin's office. So these are like her kids, pictures of her kids getting married behind me.
Okay. Brenda and Michael. Very
Brenda
nice.
and Michael. So Brenda's on sabbatical right now.
Okay. Oh,
So this
she
is a
is.
good quiet office to be able to be in.
I know I shut off my phone or the ringer off my phone and everything too. So I don't need earbuds, do I? I don't.
You know what? You sound pretty clear right now. Is there going to be a loud, is there a chance of any other noise around you?
No, I doubt it. George and I, my husband and I, are just here. We have a young man that lives with us, but he doesn't get out of school. He's a senior. He doesn't get out of school till later, and I have a little sign on the door, please do not disturb. So I think we're good.
Good, good. Yeah. One, the lag that we had experienced before is gone. So that's great. So I'm assuming that's because of George plugging in the computer and not just it being over Wi-Fi. So that's really wonderful. You look great. You sound great. And as far as these for audio, they sometimes help because sometimes people are in more echoey rooms and it sounds like that. Yours, I'm not hearing a ton of echo because of sort of where you are.
I have enough stuff around me, so
Yeah, exactly. So, I would say just kind of because of that, maybe speak up a little more than your usual conversational voice, but it's also not sort of preaching, projecting, because we're sort of sitting around the dinner table with people is the idea. So.
I like that idea better. Oh, I was gonna say, now all of a sudden somebody else is in.
Yeah, Kathy's on the ball.
Okay.
Jumping in here, going to be joining us.
Okay, wonderful.
So can you
I'm
just
actually nervous. This is so weird. It's like,
Well, I don't think you need to be that nervous. It is these kinds of conversations are much more conversational. We're sitting around the dinner table together, sitting around the coffee table. And I mean, you just tell such great stories that for most of it is I just want to keep hearing those and pulling those out of you. Stories about, gardening in the neighborhood and ways that you've done all the legwork of building the partnership. So, yeah.
And so the idea behind this really, okay, we've got church planters that are going to be coming in, maybe kind of figuring out how to connect into their community, not just how to connect with other organizations in the community, but also just with the people as well, correct?
Yeah, because I think, like you said, people who enter a new community might not know the real issues in the community. And so if you're just getting connected to organizations that you really want to partner with, that's good because you're partnering with other organizations doing missional work. But at the end of the day, I think we need to go to the community and say, what are the real needs that need to be addressed?
Correct.
And so it felt like, and that's what I kind of outlined in our in the outline here, is that I think we start with that whole part of the conversation of how do we enter communities well with that kind of faithful presence of listening well and understanding, well, what is happening in this space? And over time, that means you start planting different things in your garden, like collard greens. You know what I mean? Like there is such a wealth of other things that come with that. But that to me felt like a good spot to start for us. And then we can move on to the more strategic. Okay, so now you have an organization that you want to partner with or you've been asked to be on the board of. Well, what does that look like? How do you do that? How do you do that well without just, letting go of all the church work, and that
You
kind of
know, and in
tension?
reality, it really does have to start from the ground level because what good is it to partner with all these people when you don't even have the heart of the people,
Yeah.
that you need to reach out to
Yeah.
begin? So, a lot of that is all by, to me, a lot of it all happens supernaturally by accident.
Yeah.
So all this like strategic planning, I think what happened to us is we stumbled onto things
yeah.
that we realized God was doing. And so it's like, oh, I guess this is the direction we're going in.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now we just get to stare at each other for a while.
Well, we get to wait for hopefully what, 6 more minutes. So if you need to get a warmer for your coffee or tea there, or if you want to take a quick, you know, run bathroom break, take a quick rest. I think we're okay on our tech detail side.
I think I'll warm up my tea then.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Good.
See you in a little bit.
You can admire my artistic flair. I was a commercial artist, to tell you the truth.
You were.
I never became into ministry or anything like that. And I was a gardener and I was a design person. So well, that's like, how can I still do that, God?
Well, I want to hear those stories too eventually.
Right. Okay.
Hello.
Steven. Hello, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Where are you today?
I'm at home. Yeah, I just moved the desk.
Awesome.
Or moved the, twisted the computer around.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Looks good. Bookshelf. Little plant. You know, it's really.
Is that more appealing to the eye?
Yeah, aesthetically. I'm excited about that look.
So, hi, Dave. What's up, Dave? How are you? Just like that.
Dave, can you hear us?
Apparently not.
Still working on the audio. That's okay.
Yeah.
Steven, I loved that resource you sent over.
The paper?
The paper one. Where had you guys sort of like used that or created that for? Where did that come about outside of that relationship with?
Well, I mean, it definitely came out of the relationship. So that guy, that's the guy that I had referred to in our last conversation.
Yeah.
And I think he, like, so he's a lot older than me, and he kind of glommed on to me, I think in large part because, so he retired from business and really felt convicted to get involved in ministry. And so started trying to connect with pastors specifically in our neighborhood and had a really hard time doing that. Mm. And, a lot of it I think comes out of, well, so he and I have like come to see like ministry-minded folks and business-minded folks is coming from two different cultures. So we like kind of see those relationships as like a cross-cultural relationship. Mm. And we were able to connect. And like he calls me still, I've known him for 7-8 years. He still calls me to ask me to translate what a pastor said for him. Like that happens all the time. So I had this conversation with this pastor. What the heck does this mean? And he'll give me some phrase and I'll have to like translate it into normal English for him. So that has been a big part of our relationship.
Yeah.
And so
Steve, he's the one that talks weird, not us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So
well, I thought it was great. And so we'll point to it here in the webinar, but I mean, even for further use, it just feels like a really helpful document. So
cool. Yeah, man, take it, use it. Put your own name on there and don't give us any credit. That's fine.
I think the Vineyard, what I've heard is the Vineyard way is the first time I use it, I have to use your name. The second time somebody said, and then the third time it's mine. So
this is what I said the last time I talked about this.
Wow. Look how we can see Judy. Well done.
I was just going to say that. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Hello.
So and, Judy, Courtney. Yeah. Courtney, what is Courtney's last name? Courtney... I think she's from your church.
No, you're thinking of the Harvest Vineyard in Ames.
Okay. Yep.
Miller. Yes.
So you don't know Courtney.
I do know Corey very well. Corey Miller and Josh Miller.
Oh, but not Courtney. Courtney's from their church.
Okay, that could be.
Gotcha.
Corey and Josh Miller are Harvest Vineyard in Ames, and we decided, which was crazy of us, but we both have the same name, Harvest Vineyard, but we're in Waterloo.
Okay.
So we just do it to confuse everybody because we're both in Iowa. So
okay, gotcha. Yeah. That's good.
You're not the only two Harvest Vineyards around.
There's another one in California. It's a Chinese a Chinese vineyard.
Okay. In California. Well, there we go. We did the gathering out in the park. And then after we gathered the people, we said, what should we call our church? And I thought, well, you gather the harvest, so let's be Harvest Vineyard. So that's where that came from. And Josh Miller in Ames was a farmer kid. And so the harvest is because of his background. So
that's pretty cool.
Well, hey, we got everybody here. We can see everybody. And we got a half an hour. So let's confirm one thing, which I think we've confirmed sound and video with everybody but Dave. Dave, I haven't heard your voice yet. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hear me okay?
You're a little bit...
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. However, it was a little bit distorted. So let's see if we can do a couple things here.
How does this sound? No?
Sounds okay. But there's a couple questions I have for you, Dave. So
can you hear me now? Does this work?
We can hear you. There's a delay.
Can you hear me now? Oh, boy.
Dave, can you hear me at all? So, while we're getting Dave going,
I can hear you from this. Without the headphones, can you hear me?
We can. There's a slight delay, which is not your headphones, but it sounds to be more your internet connection.
Okay, don't know how to fix that.
So here's my first question, Dave. How long is it? Can you hear me, Dave?
Yes.
How long has it been since you've restarted your computer? that's a thing that sometimes doesn't happen and sometimes will help this process. If it's been a little bit and you want to do a quick restart and join the meeting again, that might be nice. If that doesn't solve it, what we're going to do is we're going to send your audio, not through the internet. So we'll do the video through the internet, and then we'll send your audio through a phone line if you have a phone right there.
I do.
Okay. So,
so I'll try to reset the computer here real quick and then rejoin.
Perfect. Thanks, Dave. Well, Dave is doing that, everybody. I want you guys to open up a couple windows. So you guys can probably see either just me or everybody who's on the call right now. Which is it for you guys? Everybody?
Everybody.
I see you and everyone.
Okay, perfect. So if you kind of hover your mouse over the screen here where our faces are, at the bottom, if you scroll to the bottom, there's a few buttons. One says participants. I want you to click that one. And then a little bit over to the right of that, there's one that says chat. I want you to open that one.
There you go.
So you can place those little windows wherever you'd like, if they're on the side there or wherever else. The participants window is helpful mainly because we know who's in the room. There's two tabs at the top. It says panelists, and there's four of us. That's us on the call. We're here. When we click over to attendees, which is where we'll leave that for the meeting, we'll be able to see who's showing up. So I'm going to hit a button on my screen that says broadcast at 2:30. That means we go live and we'll start seeing people populate that. As we get going, I'll start saying hi to people. I'll say, hi, Wendy. Good to see you. Glad that you're with us. And Wendy will get freaked out because she'll be like, wait, I'm in my bathrobe. Why am you? Can you see me right now? I don't know. I have a dog in the back room, or my kids are here. So we just tell them, hey, don't worry. You can see us. We can't see you. But we want to hear from you. Open your chat window and tell us where you're coming from. Say hi and tell us where you're coming from. So we'll see people's names kind of popping in that participants window. If, as we're getting going in those first 2 or 3 minutes, if you see people who you know or names that you recognize, feel free to kind of, as people are walking in the room, say hi to them. You know, it just like you would as a pastor of people walking into any room which you were in, you would welcome them.
But we have the bonus of having their name right here, so we won't call them by the wrong name.
Right? Right?
Yeah. We get the system for our, yeah.
It's like one step better than a name tag, right? It's you actually, that's all you can see is their name. And you get
hi, Carrie, how are you? I mean, Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
So you have that one open, and then you also have the chat window open. There should be a little spot to type at the bottom and a little blue bubble that says to all panelists or all panelists and attendees, if you need to communicate to me or to any of our panel throughout the webinar, but you don't want to talk to everybody on the call, click the little blue window, like Steven just sent me a secret communication. And it says, from Steven, privately to me. And so just chat me anything. If you're like, hey, I really want to say this, I'll just be like, great, you're up next. But so that can kind of be there. That'll be the spot where a lot of our questions come in. And so as people are asking questions, as people are kind of saying a few things along the way, that'll okay. be the spot where those come in. I'll moderate those.
Can I ask a question on this though? Okay. So I don't see this little blue window, but I do see a little arrow that says all panelists and attendees. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
And it says Kathy and Steve. So if I clicked, I don't see you on there, Justin.
He's labeled Multiply Vineyard.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Multiply Vineyard. Okay. Okay.
I can change my name. I'm on the corporate account here. Sorry, team.
So if I just wanted to ask something about Kathy, I would click on Kathy's and then I would type?
Yep. Or
yeah, you can test that right now, Judy, if you want. So if there's, you know, if there's something,
okay.
Let's say that I am asking Stephen a question, and Judy, you're like, oh, I really want to add to what Stephen is saying. Kathy, like, call on me next. Like, you could just chat me like that, and I'll see it, and I could, I'll just say, okay, hey, Judy, could you respond to whatever point it is that you might want to make?
Okay, so what I just typed you now, you see.
Yes.
Okay, I get it.
And Stephen, is it Stephen or Steve these days?
Whatever.
Oh, no. That, just tell me. What do you want me to say?
I honestly don't know what to tell you.
This week, have you been called Stephen or Steve Moore?
It's both. Yeah. If you're asking for like a poll, like I don't know. I don't even pay attention. Hey, you.
Oh, my goodness.
I can tell you some of the things that my wife is going to. I can't do that.
Oh, no. I don't know. So Justin, help us to just even get a sense of the flow, because what's different for me is that we're only doing an hour instead of an hour and a half for the call. So just in terms of helping our panelists understand how to moderate themselves, because we've only got an hour for the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a great question. I want to see if we can hear Dave quick, and then we'll talk content for the rest of our 20 minutes. Hey, Dave.
Does this work okay?
Yeah, it actually sounds clearer and looks clearer. So that helped out a bit. Dave, just talk for a minute though. How's your day been? Tell us about it. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm in the middle of opening a new house for a traffic team girl, a second home. We've had one in operation for about 3.5 years. But the licensing and so forth has got me kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off in the 2 week period that I'm in right now, because we're really close to the licensing audit, so to speak.
Oh, so
pretty hectic.
yeah. Well, you sound better. There's no lag. Your mouth is moving at the same time as I'm hearing the words. That's good. The one thing I would say, Dave, is if you could enunciate a little more, that'd be helpful. Just because of the room you're in is a little echoey. Only take two, no problem. And so if you can kind of project a little bit, that'd be helpful, since the earbuds were kind of messing with it earlier. Do you want to try to test the earbuds, and then if it isn't working, we can.
Can you just send me a text or an email about it?
Absolutely.
Okay. So when we have you plug those in, I'm gonna, if it doesn't work, there's a couple buttons at the bottom that we can press to try to test them.
Okay, unplugged in. Does that work any better?
Sounds a little better. Go down to the bottom corner of your screen. There's a little microphone and an arrow next to it. Click that arrow.
Yes.
And then when it says select a microphone at the top, does it say... what does it say? It's checked. What is checked there?
Internal mic, IDT, high definition audio, DOD, EC.
Is there another option?
Same as system.
Okay.
And then underneath all of that is the speaker information.
Okay. And does it show up where there's a headphone in your speaker, so you're hearing me through the earbuds?
I'm hearing you through the earbuds now.
Okay.
Select a speaker. It says speakers and headphones.
Yep. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go with that. It's not hugely different than before, but I think it's at least a little bit clearer.
Okay.
So Kathy just asked right before you were coming in, Dave, just flow. Let's talk about that for a little bit. I sent out the outline for everybody. Remember, that's kind of not a script, but it is generally where we're going to follow the conversation. Kathy, you asked a great question of just like, how do we know how, you know, when we get into telling stories, we want to tell the story, you know, and how do we not sort of any one of us take up too much time? So I would say try to make your answers full enough, but also we don't need to linger because we're going to have 60 minutes and that's going to go by like that, especially with the questions that we're going to get coming in, right? So we don't need to fill up the 60 minutes. We need to fill up 45. Mm-hmm. And the rest of that time will be sort of the in and out of introduction, ending, and all the questions that'll be interspersed throughout. So don't feel like you have to be really brief and barely say anything. Also, just be a little bit mindful of carrying on a story a little bit long. When we begin, there'll be some introductions, and we kind of put like a little, we're going to introduce you, tell you, and Kathy will do this. Kathy will say your name, who, kind of your role, and where you're at in the world, and then ask a little question to you. And so give kind of a 60 seconds. So Kathy, tell us a little bit about your community and your church. Like give us just the big broad overview. And Stephen and Dave, the same kind of thing. Because I think people want to know who are we hearing from, right? Who's on the call? All of that will be done in the first 5 minutes. You know, we'll welcome people. I'll do really quick introduction of the time and how we're kind of what we're up to today. And then Kathy is going to very briefly introduce you, and you guys will say kind of a minute about yourselves. So that'll be the first 5-ish minutes. Kathy, your thoughts?
Mute your phone if you haven't already, and close any like message browse. Like if you get text messages on your computer, close that. Or
you're telling us not to multitask.
if your email makes noise, if you get a new email, close your email. things like that. I am closing my Slack right now, which is an incredible amount of self-control.
Leading by example.
I will lead by example by closing that.
What did you just say? Slack?
Slack. It's like a organization business texting for organizations, and it actually works really well. It doesn't clutter up your regular texting that's supposed to be for your real friends, you know?
Good.
But the other thing I think that will be very helpful because of the particular content of this webinar is in your sharing, just make sure that you hit how long you've been in the vineyard, and if that's different from your church planting history, but that of course is what people are interested in, you know. So the way I'll share is I'll just say, you know, I've been in the vineyard for 20 years, which is crazy. 19 years, for 19 years. And, you know, my husband Caleb and I, we church planted, we planted a church in New Haven, Connecticut 10 years ago, celebrating our 10-year anniversary this October.
Next month.
And then, but I'm currently the pastor of discipleship at Blue Root Vineyard Community Church, which is, was planted 18 years ago. So, I mean, that's what people are interested in. And then of course, all of the stuff about, and this is how I got into community engagement and partnerships. We'll save that for the questions part. You don't have to really use the brief intro time. It's just orient people more towards your kind of church planting or vineyard experience.
Yeah, that's good. And then as far as kind of our content, we have three big blocks that were kind of what we were talking about. And I basically just reorganized and put a little bit of a title and added a couple questions to it. So roughly we'll live in those for about 15 minutes each. Again, that's going to mean we're only hearing from each of you for just a few minutes per section. And we're going to leave room at the end of each section to ask the audience a question, whether it's a poll question or a chat function question, and then we'll give them a couple resources that kind of apply to what's happening there. So that's we'll do that three times throughout, and then we'll wrap up at the end, see if there's any other questions, point people to some things coming up. And then Judy, if you'd be so kind to pray for us as we wrap up at the end, we'd love that too.
Okay, I saw that at the bottom.
So let's just talk real quick then about each little content section. So content section one, faithful presence, entering communities. That was really sort of a lot of how Judy talked about listening well when you come into those communities, and how do we sort of engage not just the organizations in a community, but the real issues. And we probably need to listen and hear. Stephen, you talked about that a lot as well. So any questions on that 15 minutes? Any additional comments? Does that feel like the right spot to start?
Mm-hmm. And I know each of you has your own really interesting story about your sense of call to move into the neighborhood that you minister in. And so in particular, if you could think about like the most concise way to share that, I mean, that's something that is, I think that'd be very helpful for the people coming in on the webinar, and it's still a little unique. It's still a little different. It's not every Vineyard Church. It's not every Vineyard Church's approach. I would say, I don't know, Justin, would you say it's most Vineyard Church's approach, but not necessarily all, in terms of thinking about partnering with the partnering. Your church might be here, but your partnerships might be, you know, 20 minutes away or something.
Yeah, I think hearing those stories is good on a couple fronts. One is when in local churches, how do we meet the needs of the community? But also as for church planters,
yeah.
One of the big questions of discernment is where do I go? Where am I feeling called to? And so just hearing that from other folks who have been called to specific neighborhoods, that breeds like connection and trust and support, and people want to hear that. So absolutely anything. Like, I literally know we had somebody fill out a church planting application last night, and then they registered today. Because they're feeling called, and this is like the new next steps that they're working towards.
Yeah.
So just to put it in context of not putting pressure on you guys, but just relevancy, like there are church planters who are going to be on the call thinking, where do I go?
Mm.
Or God's calling me to this town. Mm. And so hearing you guys say that would be really helpful.
Yeah.
They're all called the Buffalo. Send them all.
Yeah, that's what I knew Stephen's you were going to say that.
Just going to recruit.
Yes. We have room for at least 50 Vineyard churches in our county, hands down,
Yeah. Say that. Say absolutely.
I
say that.
Absolutely. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Maybe only 40.
I think we do have some opportunity to vision cast it when we think about church planting in the Vineyard, and certainly Phil Sprouts and Michael Gatlin's what they were saying at the national conference, right? In terms of, hey, it's about, you know, clearing the field, or I don't know how Phil put it, making the field as wide as possible. There's like some new analogy or metaphor that he's using for trying to say, you know, we really truly in the Vineyard want to make space for people to do church plants in different sizes and shapes and approaches, and just even, you know, the thought that could there be room for 50 vineyards in the one city of Buffalo? Like, part of that approach is you think about your neighborhood differently, right? Like you're thinking about enmeshing your life with the people who live on your block in a really different way from probably Vineyard church planting philosophy from 30 years ago, which was just thinking of, it seems to me, just on a much more regional, in a regional way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preach, Kathy.
I think.
I know. Yeah. You know,
I even think in my context, we were always the odd kind of vineyard way back when, because most people do ministry to the poor, but our church is the poor. I mean, and I don't know if that's a correct analogy to say, but, you know, we have to live it out. And so it's a whole different context. So our numbers are smaller because we're trying to even raise up indigenous leaders.
Yeah.
So it just looks different.
That's exactly the kind of very practical, like, what do we mean when we say community partnerships? What do we mean by what, how might it look like, especially if you have a sense of call to a neighborhood that is not middle class, which, you know, this is where I think Justin and I can be most helpful in terms of just making sure that the tone of our conversation is one of invitation and celebration, because of course we want Vineyard churches in the suburbs. Of course we want Vineyard churches to reach middle class, non-believing people as well. But what we have an opportunity to do in this call is to say, well, you know what, here are three ways that God has called Vineyard pastors.
Right.
And we're not saying that it's better exactly, mm-hmm. But we are saying it has particular dynamics.
Correct.
To doing it in the way that you've sensed call. And yeah, I don't know if you want to add to that, Justin, just in terms of, I just know, especially in, even in Vineyard Justice Network in general, right? Like, we're not trying to say, well, I guess I am trying to say, like, of course every church should be doing justice, but at the same time, like, justice will look different based on the dynamics of your community.
Are you trying to say that we shouldn't make anybody feel bad? Is that?
I'm just trying to say, like,
how about don't be a jerk?
We are inviting. Stephen, you and I have talked a lot about this. Like, we are inviting people to a different perspective.
Yeah.
It might feel like a different perspective for some people. And we want to have an approach of, like, open door, right? Not, if you're thinking about planting a suburban church, you're wrong.
Yeah.
At least not on this call.
I hear you, Kathy.
So one of the things that is unique about what we're doing in this context is we're spending a lot of time working with other churches and other community.
Yeah.
We're opening up the dialogue that there is some pretty severe need. There's just not a really good way for us to think that we can be on top of resolving all of that need as a single independent church.
Correct.
So go into the communities across the county and open the dialogue and invite the community to partner with us. And you know, there are literally, well, dozens would seem like a small part of the statement. There's probably realistically, four or five dozen churches that are partnering with us across the county in some way.
Yeah.
But they're also businesses and individuals and so forth. So, you know, I love the idea of opening Vineyard all the way across the county, because we could probably fill over them in there. But, you know, in the absence of that reality, we're finding some really great partnerships in some of the other churches as well.
That's great.
That's great.
We're just a few minutes out from hitting the broadcast button, so I want to say two quick things. One, I'll kind of manage the poll questions situations. There's one thing I wanted to highlight. The second poll we're going to ask them is, we want to ask them about some what are some of the key problems in your community needs that your community needs solutions for right now? And then we kind of list some that might be for the purpose of a few people really highlighting equitable housing. And then we would bring that up a little bit more in that next section. You know, I think if we could steer the ship towards some of those specific issues, if need be, or we can just point them to resources that could be geared towards that. What that might mean is, afterwards, if, you know, we get a bunch of people talking about environmental stewardship, then we'd say, hey, please go to this spot on the website, Jan, and if you want to talk to somebody, Kathy can get you connected. You know, something like that, if we really can't unpack it fully. But that second section will really be talking about networking and building community partnerships. So a lot of what you were talking about, Dave, with being strategic, and then also, Stephen, you talked a lot about, well, what does that look like with a person? How do we build win-win-win partnerships? So really good stuff there. And then we'll end on kind of gaining traction and navigating tensions. So how do we do this amidst having lives and doing church work while also doing justice work? Is there a difference between those things? All that. So that's
an hour.
Yeah, all that in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course we'll say, hey, did you love what you heard? You want to talk more in depth with these leaders and leaders like this? Come to BJN in October.
Exactly. This wasn't enough. Come visit Dave.
That's right. Come visit Dave. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm gonna hit the broadcast button here. So Holy Spirit, would you be with us now? And would you prepare anybody who's gonna join on the call with us? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Dave, you could click the chat button at the bottom if you want. You don't have to. And there'll be a little window where you might see some folks popping in there. We also see a few folks joining us on the call. Welcome Joe Wood and Leslie Patterson, Mary Beth, Matt, Melinda, Patrick. Everybody is joining. Great to see you all. Feel free to click open your chat window. You have a few buttons up at the top of your screen, either here or there at the top. And it says chat. Kathy's probably chatting to you all right now. And Kathy says, hi, Matt from Columbus. So let us know where you're coming from. We see you there, Barry and Abraham, Jim and Joe. Wonderful to have everybody here. Mark Steger, good to have you here, Mark. Welcome, everybody. Feel free to say hi. Joe says hi from Richmond, Kentucky. Welcome. And Jim from Cleveland, Ohio. Awesome.
That's great.
We're going to get going in just a couple minutes. We have an awesome panel from all over the country here. This is one of those webinars where we had to like make sure our time zones were right because we're almost all in different time zones. Everybody's across the country here. You'll hear more from them in a minute. Mark Steger is saying hi from Boston, which is not terribly far from Stephen Shank. Stephen, how are things in Buffalo today?
Nice and sunny. No snow yet.
Wonderful. And Charlotte Talley from Richmond. Welcome, Charlotte. Good to see you on here. Haven't seen you since the conference. I hope things have been well since. And Tracy Hess as well, Pam Stewart.
Okay.
Welcome, everybody. So we're going to get going just because we have a lot of good stuff to talk about. We want to make sure our panel gets some good time. Let me just intro by saying kind of what we're up to here. We're going to spend 60 minutes together, and we're on our little Zoom platform. So that means you're not watching YouTube. You're not able to interact. We totally want you to kind of sit around the dinner table with us, to sit around the coffee table this afternoon and discuss. So like folks have already opened their chat window, open that up, say hi, and throughout it, ask really good questions. And then when Judy says like a gem of a thing, you could like quote that and tweet that away elsewhere if you'd like also.
Right.
We want this time to be full of a lot of interaction. And today we're really pressing into the topic of building community partnerships for your church plant and what that means to listen to the needs of a community and to figure out ways for the church to be the church in lots of different ways inside and outside of our building. And so that's our hope today, is to really go into that. We're going to introduce our panel in a minute, but to get this whole interactive thing started, we want to hear a little bit about you. We're going to launch this poll. You should have a little thing that popped up right in front of you. We want to hear if any of these are true about you. So tell us about yourself. Are you discerning your calling in ministry right now? Maybe you're a church planter. You're preparing to plant, or you've planted within the past couple of years. Maybe you're a pastor, or you're here because you're engaged with justice work and kind of entering through the Vineyard Justice Network side of things. Or you have another role that kind of defines you more. Feel free to click that one and tell us a little more in the chat window. I'm going to let that go for a minute while everybody chimes in of where they're from. And I'm going to introduce Kathy Maskell. Kathy is one of our VJN steering committee members, runs everything behind the scenes of VJN just about, and is with us from Media, Pennsylvania at the Blue Root Vineyard, and is the discipleship pastor there. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, everyone.
Kathy, would you introduce the rest of the folks for us as well?
Yeah, love to. So I'm so excited to be on this call and introduce you all to my friends here who I have met all three of these folks through Vineyard Justice Network. And Judy Marshall is the lead pastor at Harvest Vineyard Church in Waterloo, Iowa. And we have Stephen Schenck, who is both the lead pastor at Buffalo Vineyard in Buffalo, New York, and is the director of the Buffalo Urban Mission Partnership. And then my friend Dave Hansen, who's also on the steering committee of Vineyard Justice Network, is a co-pastor at the Vineyard in Yakima, Washington, and is the executive director of Sunrise Outreach Center. And so just going back to you, Judy, why don't you just share with us a minute about your relationship to the Vineyard and church planting?
Okay. I started at the Vineyard back in 2000, actually, my first time walking in, and I became a graduate of VLI, and my husband and I decided we were called to plant a church, and so we started out in the park, or not into a park that's in downtown Waterloo, and out of that grew our church. We were just doing a summer outreach, and we did it for about 3 years. And after that, we realized we had a church. And being a graduate from VLI, we launched it from there. So we are in the historic neighborhood of Walnut, and it is a low-income neighborhood. And so the congregation, the people, our church family is really made up of a lot of people from different walks of life, some with criminal records, some low-income. But it's a beautiful mix, and we're just called to the people that we just love in this neighborhood.
That's great. Steve, share with us just about your work in Buffalo.
I'm from Northern California. That's where I got connected to the Vineyard in 2000, right after I got married and moved back to California after leaving for school. And kind of fell into ministry, so that's like a Holy Spirit thing, not a Steve thing. And then God called us to plant a church in Buffalo. And Buffalo, it's a Rust Belt city, which I didn't even know what that was till I moved here. So I kind of thought if I was staying in the U.S., then, you know, it would be like the same kind of culture that I grew up in. And I think you couldn't be further away culturally from where I grew up and still be in the U.S., I don't think. We're in a very poor urban neighborhood, extremely diverse. So I walk out on my block, there's probably maybe 12 or 15 languages that are spoken just on the block where I live. One of the organizations we partner with, they have translators on staff for 60 languages. So that's kind of the neighborhood that we live in. And our church, we do a ton of partnership. Almost everything we do in partnership with other organizations, and have a real strong focus on our neighborhood, involved in a lot of the development work that's going on in our neighborhood. So that's me. That's us.
Great. How about you, Dave? What's going on? What's going on with Sunrise Outreach Center and Yakima Vineyard?
So Sunrise Outreach is an outreach organization that's directly connected to the Yakima Vineyard. So we have a commingled board so that we maintain the church vision, but open up to a community dialogue so that the community has a voice in it as well. And so we have a really high poverty level here in Yakima County, which has 13 independent communities that make up that county. And so hunger and homelessness are very big issues throughout the county. So we made a determination a while back that we would try to outreach into the entire county. So we have food, clothing, and diaper banks in five different locations throughout the county. And we're also doing some prevention work with teens. On the girls' side, we have domestic minor sex traffic victims that we're working with. And on the boys' side, we actually have some of them who are also trafficked, kids that are caught up in the court system, typically through gangs. And we're working towards getting them back into school and providing services to get them back on track.
Well, we're going to hear a lot more detail about all of your different community partnership efforts. And so I'd love to just start us with how each of you did sense that call from the Lord. I mean, like, this is full-time ministry for all of you. And, you know, when I think about church planting and even my own experience, so my husband Caleb and I, we planted a church, Elm City Vineyard in New Haven, Connecticut, about 10 years ago. We're celebrating the 10-year anniversary next month. And even in those early days of conversation where we were transitioning our small group into becoming a church plant, you know, those first conversations absolutely revolved around, like, well, if we're going to become a church, what does that mean in terms of our relationship and connecting to the community that we're in? You know, we're not just a small group. We're not just here to, like, support each other. Like, what does it mean to have a sense or of calling, of responsibility, of partnership to where we actually live? And then that connecting to our hope of transformation, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what did that look for you in terms of that sense of call and how you thought about entering into the community? Maybe we'll start with you, Stephen.
I was getting ready to listen to them. So, I mean, for starters, like, we didn't have a strong desire to get into ministry for both my wife and I. Like, we just wanted to serve Jesus. We wanted to be in relationship with him. And that was really, like, the beginning of a call to ministry. So, yeah, like, how can we serve? I mean, like, our first steps into ministry were cleaning toilets, just because that's what needed to be done. And even really, like, planting a church kind of came out of that same trajectory of, yeah, like, really feeling like God was inviting us into it. But not like, I didn't know what I was signing up for. My wife didn't know what she was signing up for. We felt like we were called to plant a church, and we were kind of like, well, I don't even know what does that mean? How do you do that? That's crazy. And then even, well, how do we pick where we're called? Like, all of that stuff was just kind of like, you know, on our knees, God, please help us figure this out. Mm-hmm. And, ended up in Buffalo. And, you know, as I said earlier, was just a radically different cultural context than where I grew up. Didn't know a soul when we moved here. And if it weren't for the fact that we had a real strong, you know, we came to Buffalo basically feeling like we would die here. That's really, like, in a good way, not in a bad way. Like, we were going to be here for life. And if it weren't for that, we would have left. It was really, really, really hard. And so I think God just gave us a real strong sense that this is what he wanted us to do. And so we were doing that in obedience. And it wasn't until we'd been here in Buffalo for a few years that the real strong sense of connection to a particular neighborhood came out of that. And I mean, it was probably a couple years before we really even had, like, an established church. So we kind of moved here to Buffalo and really kind of got our feet under us before we really had a church established. Yeah, I don't know. Is that good enough answer?
Yeah, so, like, what's one way that you just tried to be helpful in the community before you really, like, you said you didn't really know what you were doing, and how did you find your way into, you know, not wanting to necessarily start something, but respond to the community?
So from the day one, we really just were trying to meet our neighbors, and we ended up having almost like a weekly party at our house. It was kind of like the beginning of ministry. And one of our next door neighbors, he was this super geeky guy who was in all these like weird board games from other countries. And he ended up, so like we would invite people over, but he would like host at our house. So we had these like weird board game parties at our house. And then on top of that, we just happened to land at probably like the hottest corner in Buffalo for panhandling, which again, I'm really more from like the country. So you don't really see panhandlers. I didn't grow up with panhandlers. And we got dropped right in the middle of like Panhandler Central in Buffalo. Not the same neighborhood we're in now. We're in a very different neighborhood. This is more of like the city center. And so, you know, like 2 o'clock in the morning, people are knocking on my bedroom window, asking me to make them food. You know what I mean? It was like, what is going on here? But we just felt a conviction to, you know, be hospitable and gracious. And so really entered into that. And so probably a year or so in, we had a small group meeting at our house that was basically, you know, mostly people who were living on the streets and had mental health conditions, and like a bunch of young college kids who were like angry at the church, but kind of interested in exploring Jesus. And so that was like that was the birth of the church. And it just came out of really trying to be friends with the people that were on our block.
Mm. And how about you, Judy? Because your story, your church moved around quite a bit in those early years. And how did you settle on where your church is now?
Well, if I back up just a little bit, when I was a VLI student and I was doing Picnic in the Park with my husband, one day we looked at each other and said, man, there's a church down here. Somebody ought to plant a church. And once you know, I ended up going into that segment about church planting through VLI, and then realized that we were the ones being called to plant the church. And oddly, I should say divinely, when I went to a Vineyard conference, two times somebody prophetically spoke those words over me, saying that you're going to plant a church and it's going to look different. It's going to taste different than even some of the other vineyards, but it's okay. And I was blown away by the Spirit of God just moving in that way. So here we are. We realized we were being called to plant the church, and it seemed like we would just go where God would call us. So the first 3 years we just did Picnic in the Park. And then when we realized we needed to plant, we found a little building right across the street from the park, the city park that we were at. And then what happened is, just through circumstance, we outgrew one building. Then we went to another building and we were there. We thought, this is it. We're going to grow in this building. A year and a half later, we ended up being graciously kicked out because they wanted to give the building to someone else. And then we ended up sharing a building and space at a senior center. And we thought that was the building that we're supposed to be in, and we're going to grow in there. And it just, they were going to sell the building, and we just couldn't land on the right price. And so God just so happened to open up a building that was on the other side of the park. And it was the Boys and Girls Club. They were sadly going bankrupt at the time, which they're not now. But we ended up in this building, a building I didn't even think that we were going to land in, but we did. And the whole church got together, and we together just sort of built the church. So you kind of have to be fluid enough to move where God wants you to move.
Hmm. Tell us the story of the garden and how the garden helped you to connect in unexpected ways in your community.
Okay. Well, first of all, God had to move my heart to move into the neighborhood, because we've been doing church now about 14 years, and I started going to the CCDA conferences, which is Christian Community Development. And out of that, there's 8 key principles. And one of the principles is to relocate into the neighborhood
you're
called into. So once I finally, that's a whole story in itself, but once I finally realized that that's what we were called to do, we purchased a house that was, it had been gone into bankruptcy also, and the woman got evicted from this house. And so the price was right, and my husband and I decided to go ahead and purchase this house. And there's a vacant lot right beside it, and we thought, what could we do with this vacant lot? And so we thought, what about putting in a garden, a community garden? And so we called it Grace Gardens, and out of that garden, we probably do more ministry than anything else. That's how we built a lot of community once we moved in. A lot of prayer happens in between the collard greens and the, and the tomatoes, and that really has become, and we've had neighbors even come up to us and say, thank you for loving our community, because we're in a community that actually has a lot of poverty and a lot of empty, abandoned buildings, mm-hmm. empty lots. And so out of that, it just really built, it started building even closer community than what we already had.
Before we move on to the next section, I just want to love to hear from Dave. You know, Dave, you have a similar story in terms of how you and your wife decided to move into the neighborhood, and specifically more of the kind of more troubled parts of Yakima. And could you just briefly share that story and what the dynamics of that street was that you decided to move into?
Well, following on Judy's story, our church was already downtown, so there wasn't a relocation that I was involved with there. But we lived on the more affluent side of town. I had been in business administration my whole career, and my calling came very late in life. I had worked for a couple of years with our then current pastor, going through the LI, and was trying to prepare for what I thought was about to happen. And my curveball in life was I wasn't being called initially to be a senior pastor. I was being called to be an outreach pastor. I have to say I had not been involved in outreach in literally any way up until that point, but it was a very clear kingdom moment, if I can call it that, where I really felt like I was being very specifically called to relocate downtown. The great beauty in all of this was that my wife was getting a very, very similar message at the same time. So, you know, this was something we were able to decide to do together. And we sold or gave away everything we had, moved downtown. In the neighborhood that we moved into, we were pretty much right in the center of the highest gang activity in the community. So we were hearing shootings right around our house on a weekly basis. That's not an exaggeration. We had a young man shot right on our front porch. We had the windows on the house next door that were all broken out. So the whole time we were going through this, where you might expect that there would be some sense of fear or worry or concern, I don't know if there's ever been a time where my wife and I felt more safe, because we were both convinced that this was God's direction for us. And so in that community, we were able to be very, very directly involved with the things that were going on there. And the story could be a long one, so I'll stop there. But suffice to say that we have remained in the downtown area ever since. And it helps us to really identify with those that we're trying to serve in a pretty vital way.
Yeah. Justin has a question for our attendees before we move on to the next section. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I think one note there that I'm just observing is how different each of those callings were, and so much of what we see in the Vineyard is permission to discern well with others and then to go plant or extend out missionally in however God's calling you. And so, I think that's key. We've had a couple questions already come in about that. You know, how do you listen well to the needs of the community, which was said in a couple different ways, whether it's Judy's gardening or building partnerships in other ways. So Thanks for those questions that are coming in. That's tremendous. And one thing I'm going to note is on our first poll, just kind of the tell us about yourself, 55% of the folks here, over half of us, are church planters, either preparing to plant or currently. So hopefully this is kind of right on topic as you're thinking about your own communities. The second question we wanted to ask everybody was more specifically, so then what are some of the key problems that your community is facing right now? What are some of the needs that you think the church might be able to kind of come in and meet? And what are you hearing from your neighbors? So I'm going to launch a quick poll again. And there's a few here that we've identified as these are common ones that we're seeing churches in the Vineyard and churches as a part of VJN really starting to hear in neighborhoods and addressing. So poverty and economic justice, equitable housing, racial justice and reconciliation, environmental stewardship. That was already brought up in the chat window. So we're going to come back to that for sure. Human trafficking, immigration, and maybe it's another one. So if there are others that you're hearing, put that in the chat window. We really want to know and kind of spend the remainder of our time. If there's a few of these key issues that you really do want to hear about, we would love to kind of hone in with the experts on the panel here and go there for a little bit. As you're filling that out, I want to send over a couple resources. So much of these aren't going to be just sort of us talking at you all. We want to give some really good resources along the way. So if you've clicked the poverty and economic justice one, which a whole bunch of you already have, VJN has some great resources for ending poverty. I sent a link in the chat window there. And there's one other, there's a book that it came highly recommended. Not that books are the end all be all, but as you enter communities and you're thinking about church planting, there's a book called Faithful Presence, Seven Disciplines That Shape the Church for Mission by David E. Fitch. And he talks about this idea of faithful presence, that the church comes in and listens well, laments well with the community, and is present through all the ups and downs. Much like Judy, what you were talking about, much like Dave, what you were talking about there, being in this new neighborhood. And so we've just had a lot of folks who are even currently church planting be kind of impacted by that book and wanted to share it here because it felt like it was pretty on topic. So keep filling that out. If you have any questions or thoughts, be specific in that chat window of, well, I want to hear about this issue as we move forward. I'm going to show everybody our poll results real quick before we move to the next section. So 76% of us said, we want to hear a little bit about poverty and economic justice. So that's something that as we talk through this next section about building partnerships, let's make sure we go there. And then just kind of as a note, over 50% are also thinking about immigration issues right now, and what that's going to look like as a church plant. We have a couple resources on the way that at least for Spanish-speaking immigrants, we are going to pass along some of those things in this next kind of 15 minutes here. Kathy, how do you want to kind of go from here talking about building partnerships? Take us there.
Yeah. So just after hearing some of these stories of how people's, how you all sense your call, let's just talk a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of partnerships. And like Justin was saying, we had some questions already about, you know, how do you discern even between working with churches, working with nonprofits? What about nonprofits that are secular or maybe nonprofits that historically don't even work with faith-based or churches? And I'd love to start with you, Dave, in terms of how you've thought about strategically partnering in your city.
One of the, I think, more important aspects of doing this is looking in the community for who is already involved in doing some of the things that I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And particularly where the effects of poverty relate to homelessness or hunger or those kind of things. There's already agencies in town that are working on them, churches in town that are working on them. And just the trying to walk that out in kind of a humble place where I don't feel like I have to manage it or take over what somebody else is already doing. More coming alongside and collaborating, supporting, and encouraging what's already happening, and using the framework of our organization and church to be an added support. And so, you know, once you go there, there's this thing that happens where the dependency of your support takes on a shape, and there's a great partnership that develops. And they're as much interested in your leadership as you are theirs. And so a lot can be accomplished in a fairly strong way. So collaborating with churches in our county, we have three different pastoral organizations or collaboratives that are meeting. So we meet with all of them. We can pull from that resourcing for all of the various things that we're trying to do, but we can also support things that they're trying to do as well. I really think it takes a strategy. Like, for example, the Homeless Network of Yakima County has over 60 different agencies, from government agencies to businesses to, you know, individuals, churches, and so forth. And so that's just been a great resource for us to work on housing solution and supportive housing solutions as well. In the context of hunger and the food banks that we're running, we participated in food councils across the county and across the state, to the point where in Sunrise Outreach, we're actually chairing two or three of those different communities right now, our collaboratives right now. So again, it's just a way to accomplish a lot using the resources that are available. We don't feel in any way that we have to run it necessarily or manage it, but just participate in it. Really super helpful.
Steve or Judy, like what's been your approach with thinking both strategically and discerning, like who to partner with, you know, especially again, like one of the questions was, you know, how do you decide, especially if it's an organization that is secular or maybe some of their values would not necessarily align with your church's values, but you're both agreeing that you want to end hunger in your community.
I can go ahead and
go ahead, Judy.
Okay. I think what's real interesting about that question is that out of needs, I agree with Dave, where Dave says you don't have to reinvent the wheel if somebody's doing something. But as far as partnering goes, what I did when we very first got into this particular neighborhood, I realized I didn't want to have a hero mentality. I didn't want to be the one coming in as a hero to rescue everyone. Instead, I wanted to see what was already happening in the neighborhood and join in with them.
Yeah.
And using the principles of CCDA, one of the main principles is listening to the community. It's asset-based. And so what we did is we gathered the neighborhood together and we heard from them, what is it that you see as an asset? What's you know, what are things that we don't like about the neighborhood, but what do we have in the neighborhood? And out of that, we realized that one of the greatest needs was housing and empty lots and those kinds of things. And so from there, we saw who also came to the table to sit. We had invited Habitat for Humanity. We had invited some development organizations that were in our community, and the city was invited. And so we had city councilmen, and those who showed up and heard the way that we sort of set up the vision that we had for our community helped us to see who had the same heart as we did to partner with us. And so out of that grew a coalition of other partners. And so we it took years to do this, though. I can't say that it just happened like that. And
yes.
So through a lot of prayer and a lot of just getting to know the neighbors and the neighborhood and sitting through all those community, all those Walnut Neighborhood Association meetings, you get to hear what the community wants as well. And so that's how we got to partner. And those who had the same heart as we did, that's who we ended up going with.
Hmm. Steve, I'd love to hear from you in terms of mutual partnerships, particularly with how one of the strengths of your, the way you've approached it in Buffalo is even thinking about businesses, which sometimes we overlook that as a real asset in the community.
Yeah. Give me 1 second. Hey guys, just make sure you're quiet. Coming, I'm on a call. Okay. Sorry. My daughter and my wife.
Perfect timing.
Yes. I saw it coming. I mean, I've been personally, and our church and our ministry and some of our partnerships have been incredibly blessed by partnering with people from the business community and or at least people, people with business skills. Some of them are no longer in the business community. They're in the nonprofit world now. So maybe it'd be helpful just to tell a little bit about one of our partnerships. So 716 Ministries is an organization that does work in housing in our neighborhood. So for example, we bought a house for $5,000, which like that's pretty cheap for a house. It's great if you got $5,000. It's really bad though, because if you have to pay $15,000 to put a new roof on your house and then you can turn around and sell it for $5,000, you're never going to put a new roof on your house. So that led to some serious problems in the neighborhood. This particular organization, was involved in renovating houses using donated labor and donated materials, so that they could, basically take a loss and still work on these houses. So we ended up working initially just we were looking for an apartment to rent to put some men in for Men's Discipleship House. They had an apartment that wasn't finished yet and agreed to let these guys stay there for free. So they were basically providing security for the house, doing a little bit of labor on the apartment. And that was the beginning of our church's partnership with this organization. And it really grew. I mean, at this point, I'm actually on the board of the organization. Several people work for the organization that are members of our church. And we partner in really significant ways. As a matter of fact, one of the things, this is just a little shout out. If people are interested in, people are passionate about poverty and economic development, my own personal opinion is that the closest thing to a silver bullet in addressing issues of poverty in a community, there aren't silver bullets, but the closest thing to a silver bullet is it's jobs, it's employment. And I think the church actually, we have a unique opportunity to help people gain the skills that are needed to be employed. So again, just to continue with the story with the example, our church is partnering with this organization, 716 Ministries, right now through helping them run it's a soft skills training program. So it's like a 5 or 6 week soft skills training program. We partner. So what our church does largely is provide mentors for the program. The organization 716 Ministries has a couple of people who actually teach the classes. Actually, a couple of them are also part of our church, but they're staff members of the organization. And it's amazing what we are able to do in collaboration. So again, they're bringing business skills and the kind of organizational bandwidth of their organization. We're able to just plug in. So we don't have to buy houses, we don't have to buy tools, we don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. We don't have to set up the infrastructure, and yet we still get to provide some really key pieces of the puzzle as a church. And basically it's like an open door to discipleship and evangelism and even just like life transformation in some pretty deep ways. And actually I want to, if I have another 60 seconds to share, I'll share a little bit more of this partnership. So something that was really important for me in my own development, happened again in the relationship between our church and this organization. So early on, they were fixing up houses on the block where our church meets. And so our church was meeting there, and I would have conversations with the neighbors, and the neighbors would always say to me, "Isn't it so awesome what the church is doing fixing up this house?" And then I would always say, I would interrupt them and say, well, it's not the church, it's our partner organization that's doing it, and we kind of help them out, but really it's 716 Ministries. And halfway through the explanation, every time, like, my neighbors, their eyes would glaze over and they would check out and leave, and they like, didn't hear anything. And so at one point, I had one of the neighbors comes up to me like, it's so awesome that the church is fixing up this house.
Yeah.
And I was just getting ready to like launch into this explanation about how it wasn't the church, and it clicked. And I just said, yeah, isn't it great what we're doing fixing up this house? And so I totally stole credit for their ministry. But it was like the beginning of this realization that like, oh no, like we're just partnering together. So like we can talk about how we have this, you know, our church has a ministry fixing up houses, and their ministry can talk about how they have a church that's like, you know, part of what they do, and yeah, all of that's true. So,
It seems like, Stephen, there's such a mutual benefit, right? Like a win-win-win for everybody when you're doing partnerships like that, where it's not serving elsewhere, it's serving within and needed. And I know you've talked about that before with us. Do you want to expound upon that? Like to really build a good partnership, you need that mutuality?
I think so. I mean, you can have partnerships where like one person or one organization is serving another. But I think what's ideal, so that win-win-win is I'm going to enter into a partnership where I'm going to get something out of it, or our organization is going to get something out of it. So it's a win for us. We're going to enter into it and they also are going to get something out of it. So it's a win for them. And then it also, I would think, because we're Christians, ought to be a win for the kingdom, right? So it's a win for me, it's a win for you, it's a win for the kingdom. And I think we ought to be looking for those kinds of partnerships. I'm sure that Judy and Dave would love to chime in and talk a little bit about that too. So I'll shut up.
Yeah. I'd just like to add one thing really quickly, if I can. When you're working with community outreach and developing partnerships and trying to maintain a balance of focus, there are people in need and others who want to help. What we're finding is we're doing as much with those who've come to help as those that come to serve.
Yeah.
Right. So the whole idea of coming to the table to work jointly or collaboratively on a problem, we're bringing a different perspective to the table. And that creates lots of kingdom discussions, lots of kingdom opportunities. And the whole emphasis of what we're trying to bring to the table is fresh and new and interesting. And again, it lends itself to great opportunity for kingdom building.
Just want to give Justin an opportunity to check in real quick with our attendees before we talk more about these tensions.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of good content here. There's some really great questions coming in. Jim just asked one that I think is really helpful. As we talk about this, you know, each of you have been in churches and ministries that have had some time in that community. You've had time to build the relationships. You've had time to really grow the partnerships and build the ministries. And Jim said, hey, has anybody had experience with grassroots community building with neighbors when you have 15 to 20 person, you know, people in your church plant, right? So at the beginning, Stephen, you know, what did it look like? Judy, what did it look like at the beginning? Dave, you know, give us a little bit of a sense that how do you do that well right away when you feel like as an organization you don't have a lot of resources to bring to the table when partnering? You just have some vision and a few people.
Yeah. I think, Judy, just with what you were sharing before, it'd be great to hear from you, even as the demographic of your church has changed, and you've experienced just even it in the numbers, right? Like a loss of people as you've pressed in more into like wanting to engage with the community.
Right. One time our church was larger. We started just with a small team of people out in the park to begin with. Decided to do. I was with Heartland Vineyard Church, which was a larger church. But once my husband and I became the leaders of that, I gathered a small team just to do a feeding, basically, and had a little bit of music, and out of that really grew the church. So we did what we could. Our funding was always small. And so everybody was volunteers. We didn't have this big staff. And to this day, we don't have a big staff either. But I think what happens is as you begin to step in and see, you know, is there a neighborhood association in your neighborhood that you want to reach out to? Go to it. You know, is there something happening in your neighborhood that you could just kind of partner in with and see? And a lot of times God will lead you to those places. And so, you know, through, I had told Kathy before, you know, when Ferguson hit, it really hit hard in our church, because we have a church that is, like, I would say 40% African American and 60% white. And the whole thinking differently about different subject matters. You're only really as strong as what you can agree upon together. And so we lost a lot of people along the way. So now we're a smaller core of people, but I feel like our hands are in it more, and we're a little messier, and we're a little bit in the grit, but it's just hanging in there with 15 to 20 people. You can do a lot. We do a lot with just the little that we have. And it's just learning and asking God, who do I partner with? Where do I step in? So I guess that would be my answer.
Yeah. Stephen, do you want to add, or do you have a different story? Just to even answer Jim's question.
Yeah.
You got 15 to 20 people church plant. What do you do with that?
Well, I think, first of all, Judy, I wrote down some of what you said. I'm going to be quoting you in the future. So, I think just like we underestimate and undervalue who we have. Like, people aren't just pulses. They're not just warm bodies to listen to us preach. Like, I can't overestimate that or oversell that point. I mean, like, the first person in Scripture who was filled with the Holy Spirit was not a pastor or a prophet. It was a craftsman, right? So, like, we really have to come to terms with that everybody sitting, like, you got 15 people in your church, everybody there is called to minister. They have a vocation. And if you don't get that, then you're missing your vocation as a pastor. So again, like, this partnership that I have with this business guy, he's not a good partner because he's rich and has a willingness to give away money. He's a great partner because he's got a unique calling and skill set to be a business person. And mm-hmm. he can do things that I just flat out can't. I could never do it. Mm-hmm. I could never do what he can do. And so if we start looking at the people in our congregation with those kinds of eyes, like, well, what is it that they're called to do? Of course it's not preach. That's my job. Right. So why, if I'm only going to evaluate them through the lens of how good of a pastor are they, then again, I'm like totally missing the point. But if I start thinking through, oh, well, this person's a teacher. Well, how are they called to uniquely advance the kingdom of God in their school system? Who do they know and connect to at their school? Like, when you start asking those kinds of questions, I think then, like, that is the mindset of partnership, you know? So how can our church and your school partner together in ways that bless both of us and advance the kingdom? How can our church and your business partnering together in ways that bless both of us and advance the kingdom? How can our church and your art studio or your garden or your whatever, I think that's that. So at that point, then, well, Jesus had a church of 12 to change the world. So you've got three more than you need. So,
Dave, you know, you also, similar to Stephen, you are a co-pastor at the Yakima Vineyard, and then you're also the executive director of the Sunrise Outreach Center. So how do you deal with that tension? You know, you've got people to get baptized, young, new believers who need to be discipled, you know, small groups that need to be healthy and learn how to pray for one another, and you're working with opening homes for survivors of sex trafficking. How do you manage those tensions and lead your people?
It's a great question. Just a couple of things. You have to understand your limitation. And we all can't be all things to all people. So right. we have to balance out where God's putting us. We had to answer as a church a long time ago, were we going to limit our response to the community based on our capacity as an individual church? Mm. Or were we going to embrace the needs of the community and become something closer to what the community needed? And we realized we had to expand our thinking quite a bit to be able to address that. But at the same token, we didn't have an expectation on all of the people who were attending our church to always participate in everything that we were trying to do. Mm-hmm. When people are called into ministry, they're called into ministry within their own sphere of influence, whether they're a teacher, or, as has already been an example, or any other profession. So not everybody's going to be available to help serve in the food bank during the day, for example. Not everyone is going to be able to pull a shift at one of our houses for teens. So we can't have an unrealistic expectation of the people that are in our church to do the things that we would like them to do. We have to embrace where they're at doing what God's calling them individually to do as well, and then fill the gaps in with people that are responding to us within the community. And that becomes just an added opportunity to speak into their lives as well.
Mm, thanks. Well, we'd love to use the last 10 minutes to interact more with some of the questions directly from the attendees, Justin. So are there any particular that our panelists can take on?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that if you have any more questions, please, please, please send them along. I do want to make sure we give away just a couple quick resources here as other questions are coming in. One, people were focusing on just building partnerships. And one resource that we recently worked with our Lavinia church planters and church planting team is how to partner with a Lavinia in your church community. And so a lot of our current church plants and current churches around the Vineyard have space and have resources and often have Spanish-speaking community members within their neighborhoods, within their communities. We are working really to say, what does it look like for Vineyard churches to partner with at multiple different levels, whether it's starting a Spanish-speaking ministry all the way up to sending a church plant or housing a church plant within your church. Of predominantly Spanish-speaking folks in your community. So I just sent over an ebook for that there, and we'll be doing a webinar in about a month on that as well with some of our Lavinia leaders. So shameless plug as the questions are coming in. That's a key spot we'd love to hear more from you on.
Yeah.
Another, were you going to say something there, Kathy?
I'd just like to add, just related to that, with regards to both community resourcing. In talking recently to Omero Garcia, who oversees all the Lavinias for Vineyard USA, he did share with me that the majority of members of our Lavinia churches in the U.S. are undocumented. And so there are several resources that I'll be posting on the VJN website as well as Facebook in terms of workshops or resources that you could access in terms of helping undocumented members of your communities know their rights. And just knowing that immigration is something that it seems like a lot of people here are interested in undocumented immigration, undocumented immigrants in particular.
Another question that was in there was just, we had somebody ask kind of around sending a campus or kind of entering a new community. Judy, we talked about that at the beginning of like, how do we do that? We show up there, right? We live there. You talked a little bit about that was a really big part of who your church is. Do you have any kind of, you were sent out of a bigger church in the area. Do you have any thoughts or recommendations for folks who are sending a campus into a new part of the community and how to do that healthily?
I think what's interesting is, I hate going back to that hero mentality, but sometimes I think we forget that there's already things happening in a neighborhood, in maybe an urban type setting. And with us, there was a church that we ended up partnering with that was from suburbia, basically. And they were a very affluent church. We're still partners with them today. They're a different denomination. And they wanted to come into the neighborhood to plant a church. But what happened is they ended up seeing what we were doing and decided to join in with us.
That's wonderful.
They are still who they are. They're a Reformed church. We're still the Vineyard. We learn from each other. You know, they have a lot of extra leadership skills, and they have all this stuff. And with us, we have the Holy Spirit. Of course, we both have the Holy Spirit, but we express the Holy Spirit a little bit more. So we learn from each other. So if you're like a suburban church wanting to come in, see who you could maybe partner with that's already in the place where you would like to be, rather than start something new, because you never know what God might want to do with that partnership.
That's great, Judy. Thank you. Last question that we probably have time for here is, any suggestions on justice work in a small town environment? Stephen, would you want to kind of take that? You saying, hey, you work in Buffalo now, but you're from small town. And so that was something that you brought in there. Any thoughts?
Man, I guess I would need a little bit more context for the question. I mean, I think there are justice issues. I guess my working definition of justice is things are just when they are the way they're supposed to be. So with that definition in mind, like, things are unjust everywhere, including small towns. So there's plenty of stuff to work on. And I think that we're called by God to be engaged. I think if the question is more like how to engage in some of these bigger issues that maybe aren't as readily accessible to work on in small town environments. I don't know that. Maybe I was less awake when I was living in a small town. I don't know.
Well, and I think coming back to the theme of listening, if we are listening, we're going to find the needs within our community, right? If we do that work well of listening and building relationships, what the justice issues look like might be different. And that might be okay, because the church is meeting real needs within that community.
Can I just quick one? I know we're pressed on time as well, but one of the communities that we're working with has a city population of 1,800. So it's a pretty tiny town. Mm-hmm. But they ranked worst in the county statistics for education. Yeah. And in fact, 47% of their adult population, 25 years of age and older, didn't have a ninth grade education. So we decided to set up a program in their elementary school, and we were able to start an after-school program in that school where we could help with math and reading, which were the two most problematic areas in the school, using the resources in the school, their own school teachers who wanted to cooperate and volunteer with us to do that. And so we use volunteers from the church to be able to serve over there to facilitate that. And, you know, it was just a real simple thing to do with not a whole lot of people to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I also just across like the Vineyard Justice Network, I've heard just probably some of the most compelling stories are from Vineyard churches that are in towns of, you know, less than 12,000 people. And actually the greatest advantage you have in that small town context is relationships, and the way that people tend to be more open and more oriented towards connecting with one another. And like everyone has highlighted, who are the existing churches, and just the opportunity there with partnering with existing faith communities seems to be so much more ripe in terms of just what I've heard across the country with Vineyard pastors in small towns.
Hey, Kathy, we only have, unfortunately, an hour with everybody today, and we're running low on that. We do want to point to folks, if you want more of this conversation, the VGN Forum is coming up next month, and there are still tickets available. You can register and join Dave and a whole bunch of others in Yakima. Kathy, why should somebody attend? What's the real win and the real value of joining for the forum?
Yeah, I'd love to invite everyone who's on this call to join us at Dave Hansen's church in Yakima, Washington, where we will be digging in further to these topics. You know, we're going to have everyone from Rich Nathan to David Roos to Tri Robinson, like talking from their experience about, okay, how do we think about immigration and refugees, creation care? How do we think further through this conversation about community partnerships with practitioners and pastors together? And then also with an eye to our vineyard souls. You know, like we didn't quite have a lot of time to talk about that, but just Dave brought it up in terms of knowing the limits of what we can do and where the Holy Spirit has to be in control, and God is really the one doing the work through us, and attending to, you know, are we at peace with ourselves and in our relationships with God? Like, are we living lives of worship? And through that is where our source for even attempting to do the work of justice and compassion should flow. And and this year, what I'm really excited about is that we'll have an opportunity for anyone who comes Friday morning. The conference actually starts Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. But on Friday morning, we have an opportunity for an immersion experience. Well, Dave Hansen has set up some opportunities for us to visit some of his projects with his community center, as well as with some of his partners that he works with in Yakima. So we'd love for you to join us. October 20th and 21st, we've got scholarships available, especially we even have even more scholarship money for leaders of color, pastors of color that want to come. You can just email contact at vineyardjusticenetwork.org.
Thanks, Kathy. Hey, for everybody on the call, just thank you so much for folks joining in. I want to mention, if this was helpful, we'll be sending you all the resources after we're recording this. If this was something that there were some really key points you want to go back to and listen to, or you missed the link that we just sent across in the chat window, all that'll show up in your email, hopefully by the end of the week or early next week, once we process that, get it up on YouTube and do all that background stuff. And then also I want to point to two webinars next month that might be helpful. We have Vineyard Preaching Essentials with Michael Gatlin, and also with Andy Smith, who's a pastor from Ireland, just talking really about, well, what does a good sermon look like and how do we do that well? And then also we're going to be working with our Lavinia partners, how to partner with the Lavinia Church, coming up to the end of October as well. If those are at all interesting to you, or you know somebody who thinks they would be, grab that link and send that over to somebody you know. We'd love to see you there. Dave, Stephen, Kathy, and Judy, it's been so great having you all on this call. Thank you for spending the time, and thanks for all your wisdom. Before we leave, Judy, would you pray for us, and would you pray for all the churches and church planters who are on the call and the communities they're serving in?
So before she does that, I got to give my little shout out, right? Right. So just, I got all these church planters on here. You're all interested in talking about this stuff. So in Buffalo, we've got room for at least 40, maybe 50 more Vineyard churches. I would love to have you come to Buffalo. We will support you, encourage you, help you. So maybe somebody here is called to come to Buffalo and plant a church. All right. There you go.
You heard it. You've all heard it. Go to Buffalo, Stephen.
Go to Buffalo.
All right. All right. Yeah, we could use a worship team. So there you go. CD music gets a little bit, redundant. Okay. Oh, I have to start off at least with Isaiah 58:12 as we close out. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Father, 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 I thank you so much for this time that we could share across our nation with church planters, soon to be church planters, with pastors, with people who are just interested in really digging into community. We believe that people are the greatest assets of our community, Lord, and that you have gifted each person to share for the good of the whole of a community. May we see the people that you put in front of us. May we see those that may be hidden in maybe the crevices that need to be called out. People that we can partner with, people that we can link arms with. Help us join together our giftings, Lord, in restoring what you have started and bring healing and hope into all of our neighborhoods. We thank you, Lord, for your kingdom and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thanks, folks. Have a wonderful
thanks
afternoon.
Thanks so much, Justin. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.